Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings. Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you 100-to-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer you choose finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we've been talking about spring practice and what we would be looking for if we were able to attend those practices. And we've already gone through two segments of this. And you know what? There's still about 100 more stores we need to look at. This quarter, we're going to try and hit as many of those we can. We're going to do rapid fire. So are you ready for that?
I believe I am.
All right, let's start with this. PJ Mustafer, he's put on a good deal of weight. What are you looking for from him?
Have his responsibilities changed? Are you asking him to do anything different? I personally think this is a really good development for him, because if you look at, you know, what he's shown, obviously a really solid player, unbelievable athlete for a man of his size. What would you say his strength is? Is it you know, quickness and penetration? Is it holding up and occupying blockers to free up other guys to make plays? I think this might help define his role a little bit better.
And when you've already been at Penn State for a few years and there's a big change in your weight, you get the feeling somebody has made a decision somewhere. That didn't happen by accident. Someone is trying to do something there. All right, next up, what's Landon Tangwall's ceiling? He's the true freshman offensive lineman. And can he thrive at left tackle, Dustin?
I'm gonna love to watch this play out, because I don't know the answer to that question as we sit here today. You look at what his frame is, 6'6", 318 pounds, I think they list him at now. You look at his approach and what he's done on the field and how productive he is. He's a kind of a technical nerd, so to speak. Like, he loves the technique side of things. And I think he's such a known commodity, and so big and strong and checks off all those boxes. Can he move well enough to forecast him as not just a left tackle at Penn State, but a left tackle down the road in his NFL career? Because I'm going to assume at this point he's going to have an NFL career of some kind. I don't know. I mean, that's going to be something to watch for him. I think he might, there's a chance that he might be pigeonholed at right tackle. I'm not sure if he's a fluid enough athlete yet to see him making the move to left tackle. But then again, I mean, Dwight Gault has pulled off bigger and bigger miracles than this. I think he's got the chops. I expect him to be a multi-year starter no matter where he plays, but that's just something to watch, I think.
Do you think he could hit the two deep this year as a true freshman?
I could see it. I mean, he arrives at an interesting time, because there are more veteran players there at a lot of spots. And the question is, does Penn State view him in a way where, okay, we're not going to get more than 4 years out of him anyway, let's let it ride? Or are they going to say, we don't have a need to press him into duty yet, let's let him develop without that pressure? I do believe, I kind of lean towards the second one, where they're going to feel like we don't need to push him into anything yet. If he goes out and takes a job, okay, we'll be open to that. And there, I mean, certainly he could, but I don't think they're gonna risk burning his red shirt if they're not gonna get something productive out of it. That's my guess right now.
The other guy, before we get into a more general question about the young offensive lineman, another one specifically that they seem to talk about a lot, even though he wasn't that highly recruited, Nate Bruce.
Nate, I mean, 351 pounds. Let's just start with that. And just I think there's just so much power in what he does. An unbelievable amount of power. And when you have that particular skill that stands out, you got to be in the conversation. So he's got a rare kind of strength and physicality at that spot. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're going to need to kind of keep finessing and molding that frame out a little bit. But, you know, to me, the best comparison might be a guy like C.J. Thorpe. You know, he brought power to the table that you just can't teach players. That's Nate Bruce too, and I think that'll make him an interesting part of the guard competition. And I would say even this spring and summer too, to see where he stands among this crop of guys. If he is able to make a move and maybe pass a guy like Sal Wormley or pass a guy like Nick Dawkins, for example, you might be on to something with Nate Bruce. That would be what I'd be watching for. Where exactly does he land in this competition with some other young guard types?
You mentioned a couple of those names. We talked specifically about Bruce and Tengwall. What about the rest of this batch of offensive linemen, like Sal Wormley and Nick Dawkins and Jimmy Crist? And what are we looking for there? Aren't we looking for one of the guys to just take that step to separate himself from the others?
I think you're looking for somebody to take a step there. You have a very thick layer of young freshmen, redshirt freshmen types who I don't know how to differentiate them just yet. I'm looking for any kind of signs, whether that's watching them in practice or hearing James Franklin talk about these guys or hearing Phil Troutwine talk about these guys. How's the pecking order changing among these guys? I'm a big Landon Tengwall guy. I really like Nick Dawkins. I thought, you know, Olu Fashanu and Ibrahim Traore, I think that they're probably a year or two away from being in this conversation yet, just because they're true blue tackles who need development time. Jimmy Crist, I don't remember really seeing a guy who played with the same physical edge as Jimmy Crist does as a tackle. He's a really interesting guy that I would say, don't let him slip off your radar. It's easy to do that because there are so many names to watch, but he's an interesting player that I think is going to be a good player for Penn State down the road. But as of right now, any sign of who is next among that group of offensive linemen?
Speaking of who's next, earlier in the show we talked about the veterans at wide receiver, Daniel George, Cam Sullivan Brown. Here's two more names to react to, Norval Black and Malik Mega. We haven't heard their names mentioned much at all since they arrived.
No, and I think it makes sense for Malik Mega. You know, he arrives at roughly 6'4", 200 pounds. I think he's got some work probably yet to do on his body. He, you know, really rare kind of power, length, speed combination. So he's going to be an interesting pupil to watch for Taylor Stubblefield. How can you develop this talent? I don't expect him to be ready this year. It might not even be next year by the time he's ready. But I would love to see what they're doing behind the scenes to bring him up to speed from a football technique and skill standpoint, because that's really the only piece left. Get him a little bit stronger. Get him a little bit thicker in the lower half of his body. Those things, I think you can take it to the bank with Dwight Gault. But he needs to develop from a football standpoint. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time. Norval Black, you know, I thought was just a smooth technician type wide receiver. Can he break through here? Because obviously time is more limited for him to try to make any kind of move. You're going to want to look for some kind of indication that may happen in 2021. But I don't know at whose expense that might come. Is he a guy who's going to get kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit? I think there's a chance for that.
Dustin, we alluded to this a bit earlier, but how are the quarterbacks being coached differently by Mike Yurcich versus Kirk Ciarrocca, Ricky Ronnie, or even Joe Moorhead? How is it different now?
Yeah, that will be something that is interesting to watch. I mean, they're going to be asked to do different things. And I think you know, Mike Yurcich has more history on his side to suggest that he can develop and bring a quarterback along. And I do think that that's a big part of why James Franklin decided to make a move, is to try to get the most out of his quarterbacks. And again, this point has come up several times. Sean Clifford and his presence is what drove Tommy Stevens away. His presence is what drove Will Levis away. His presence, or maybe his lack of progress, at least contributed to Kirk Ciarrocca going away after a year. He is the last man standing in these relationships. It's time. He needs to be brought along and to become an impact starter, or you're going to have him being the last guy is like, you know, wondering why or how that happened. But I think Mike Yurcich is going to, you know, I don't know what his approach is and how he handles his quarterbacks. What he's going to be asking for is going to be different. And I think there's more optimism, I think, with him in the room, that you're going to get the most out of Sean Clifford.
Last year, we expected Brandon Smith to step up. Towards the end of the season, we saw some of those things. In the spring, what do you want to see from him?
I want to see that he's consistently in the right spots, that he is in position to use all that talent, athleticism, length, power. You know, he has shown without a shadow of a doubt that he can make big plays, and he can make, you know, plays that make the crowd say, ooh. But you do need to see him develop and be a little bit more consistent force. I'd love to see the practice habits and what he's executing in Brent Pry's defense and understanding his responsibilities and slowing the game down enough that he's in position to make those plays more often than he has been.
I think some of us were surprised that Jaquan Brisker made the decision to come back. Here's a veteran guy who does come back. Aren't you looking for a certain presence from him beyond just playing his position?
I think leadership takes on all different forms, and I'm sure that he's going to play some kind of traditional leadership role vocally and by example. But I think the leadership for him is interesting because, you know, he can create plays that not many other guys on the defense can. Whether that's a big hit, a play on the ball, forcing a fumble, scooping up a fumble, he just has a knack for that. And that has the ability, I think, to bring some electricity and momentum in game, some energy to this defense. And I think that's something that this Penn State defense could use. I would love to watch that in motion behind the scenes. And I think we're going to see that play out more often on the field as well.
I've mentioned it several times that I thought Jaquan Brisker coming back for the defense was comparable to Jahan Dotson coming back for the offense. Those are the guys that you didn't expect, but the fact that they are back, it's a bonus, and it helps everybody else in their unit through their leadership and obviously just their play on the field. Dustin, that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.